Sounds like a made-up spirit and a made-up mind to me. Gonna shout it louder than ever before. And we won't stop. And we won't stop. Because God can't be stopped. And He's not stopping. He's still a great, great God. Would you praise Him for His greatness? Whatever it means to you, Lord. We're going to take this Sunday opportunity. We're going to take these moments of opportunity to praise You and say the good things about You that we know or that we've experienced. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. From Exodus 3 and then Matthew chapter 16. Exodus 3, Moses in the middle of the desert on the mountainside at what we know of as the burning bush. And verse 13 says, and Moses says to God, behold, when I come back to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is this one's name that sent you? What God, what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, that's what you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Matthew 16, Jesus comes to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, others, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye? Whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I present and preach today because God wants to show Himself as this and wants us to praise Him as His people in this. I am. We know the I am. The I am has revealed Himself to us in the past. And the good news for us this very moment is He is revealing Himself to us right now in this service. He is the great I am. I feel a call. I felt it all through the preparation of this message for several weeks, for a call of exalting the Lord, like the song said, like we have never done before or louder than ever before. So would you, out of the loudness of your heart and your voice, would you give great praise to this great God? Lord, you are the I am. You're the answer. You're the answer to every question. You're the I am answer. Yes, you are, God. You're the I am answer. Hallelujah. We praise you today. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. That feels right in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. This is what we were created to be and what we were created to do. He's our God. We're not ashamed of you, Lord. We're glad we know you personally in the form of Jesus Christ and the experience of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Jesus. And you may be seated. Jesus prompted that statement of Simon's, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, by His two probing questions, I am questions, we'll call them. And it resulted in Simon's revelation and ours as well. He's the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. The two questions were, whom do men say I am? And whom do you say that I am? Jesus was concerned in verse 13 about who people were saying that he was. He's concerned that he wasn't concerned for notoriety's sake or to be arrogant. He was concerned that people really know who he is. I think for some of us that have been around for a while, we would readily admit we're still investigating and we're still discovering who he is. Because who he is results in what he does. And so Jesus was concerned. He wanted people to know. So he wants others to know. And he wants us to tell them who he is. And then he zeroed on down and focused more on the group that was right before him when he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" He's asking that same question today. God wants to know, who do you say that he is? Who do you recognize him to be? In your faith and in your actions and in your responses and in your behavior, the Lord asks the same questions that he did then, now. He is asking today in this service on Barracks View at APC, who am I in your life? What am I in your life? What do I mean to you? And in that question, it's not only what do I mean to you in the sense of how much do you love me? That can be summarized in that. But really, who do we see him as? And what do we see him capable of doing and being in our life? And so the question is here today in this Sunday morning service in 219. Who do you say that I am in your life? Jesus purposefully asked the question for one thing, but secondly, he phrased it purposely to include the words I am. He was connecting these I am question references to the Old Testament segment that we read, Moses' experience with Jehovah's answer to his questions, who shall I say sent me? And God says, using the two-word phrase, I am, he said, I am, and then he repeats it, that I am. You're going to say to them, I am has sent me. So here's Moses at this burning bush. And when Moses asked, who should I tell them sent me? God answers, I am. Now I'll admit to you, when you really break that down in our English formula, it almost tends to be a little fuzzy and vague. It doesn't sound like the correct answer to that question. Who do I say? Well, God, it kind of says that you're saying who you are versus saying and what you are and what you can do versus giving us a name or a label or a title. But in that verse of Revelation to Moses, whom he's called to deliver Israel and bring them salvation out of the land of Egypt, he's not so much telling them a who as telling them a why he should not be fearful. If we were sent to Washington, or if in another country, its capital, and we were commissioned, you go speak to that leader, that president, or that prime minister, and you tell him what I've said, and it's an order directly that he needs to obey. I don't know how many of us brave hearts would be willing to go through what you need to go through to get to the president or get to a prime minister. This is exactly what Moses was being commissioned to do. So when God used that phrase, behold, I am that I am, he was telling him, here's why you don't have to fear. Well, what does that mean to me? Moses could have asked. and we would ask that. That phrase, I am that I am, is a form and has the concept of Jehovah God or Yahweh God in it. And the phrase holds in it this meaning: the potential of what will be and the potential of what will occur. God had revealed his name as Jehovah, but that means deliverance and salvation. But there had not been an opportunity for God to show himself in salvation or as a deliverer. So when he says this to Moses, he is saying, Jehovah God, I am, I'm a savior, I'm a deliverer, and I am about to deliver. I am about to give my people salvation. In other words, I am about to live up to and live out my name. I'm going to be Savior, Deliverer. I'm going to show you that I truly am Jehovah and what that name means. I am about to. The reason I preach I am today is because God is about to show us, and I don't mean by that he hasn't already. He has many days and many circumstances past, but he's not done. And when he says, I am, you know, Moses wondering, what should I do? Moses, here's the message. I am about to deliver Israel. And you hear that and you say, okay, I'm ready to do it, God, because you're ready to do your thing. I'll do what you're asking me. I'll do the thing you're asking me to do. God is saying, and I am about to give you salvation. I'm about to live up to everything that you have heard about me. I'm going to deliver Israel. I am. Here's something else that's wrapped in that little phrase of I am. When God said I am, what he was really saying is others are not. I am God. They are not. And we can know too when we read the history of this, he didn't wait till when they were exiting there, the land of Egypt, and going through the Red Sea to prove that I am. In the weeks and days, remember reading about all the plagues and how the magicians of Egypt were able to duplicate some of those, and then it came to a point where they couldn't match it or they couldn't duplicate it. Every one of those challenges, God was saying, I am and you're not. I am and that idol you're serving is not. God's saying today, I am, and those other things that we may tend to depend upon, they are not. God's the one that's going to see you through that dark place. Others will try, but nobody can help you. Nobody can heal you. I believe in doctors. I've been to a couple of them this month. But God can do what medical professionals cannot do. And they will admit to you what they can do has been granted and given by God. And they acknowledge that. But there is something about the I am that others are not. Susie works in Doc's office. Tell him I pulled him into the message. Doc Mulligan. I usually take something to read while I'm there and that stuff's happening. And so I had one book that I took for several months. He said, Pastor, are you a slow reader? I told him, I promised him I was going to get hooked on phonics. But Doc has helped my back. Susie and the staff has helped my back. But God can do what Susie can't do. God can do what the doc can't do. He is, and we all fall short. And God was telling the idols and the gods of Egypt, I am, but you are not. God's bold, like we're feeling the boldness today to shout it like never before and not stopping. And I feel that spirit of boldness coming on us, and God wants to cloak us with it and mantle us with it. Not to be smart aleck and not to be evil or wrong or ill toward anybody. But somebody needs to stand up and say, He's the I Am, and there's nobody like Him. There's nobody that can give the peace that He can give. There's nobody that can give me the strength that He can give. There's nobody that can help my family like He can help me. I will also add this. He can save, He can change, and He can deliver. If you need any one of those three areas today, God can do it for you. And I know also there are parents and there are family members here and loved ones that are praying for other people that need to be saved or changed or delivered from something. God can do it. And others, or they, are not able to keep Him. There's not a drug that can keep Him. There's not a demon. Lucifer himself cannot keep Him from saving, changing, and delivering. There is no sin. There is no wrong. There is no mistake. I pray somebody watching on this web today that you've been discouraged about what you have done. I tell you, He's the I Am. There is no wrong. There is no failure. There is no sin. There is no mistake more powerful than His love. He can. They can't. He's the I Am. I Am also has encapsulated in it the meaning of forever. It's not I was. And somebody has said that. I've heard a few preachers use that, and I always like it. He's not the I was. He's not the I'm about to be. He said, I am. Timeless, sufficient, unchanging. He's I Am when we're in this wonderful atmosphere right now. But when you may be all by yourself or surrounded by other situations or people tomorrow or any time this week, He's still the I Am. He is changeless. He has all sufficiently. You know, as humans, we wear out. Equipment wears out. Equipment of the human body wears out. But I'm talking about things like machinery and cars and even the most well-honed athlete wears out. I always enjoyed seeing Roberto Clemente play. The man could play baseball. He's an outfielder. He was a great hitter. He was just, and we've had our own St. Louis stars, Usual and Ken Boyer. This is way back in the dark ages of baseball. I had a jersey with number 14 on it, Ken Boyer, played third base. I never played third base, I don't think, but you can dream. But some of those men are not only worn out, but they have passed from this life. Machinery, cars, athletes. But He's the I Am. That means there's no need for the God that we are praising today to return to what He was. Some of us older folks, have you ever thought, I wish I could? Your brain tells you you can. But when you get down on the floor and you try to get back up, that's when you start wishing, I wish I could return. Bear with us, students. Let us vent. Let us vent our age frustrations. Oh. But hear me today. There is no need for God to return to what He was. There's no need for Him to regain lost energy or lost agility. Because He is I Am. Changeless. He said, I am Alpha. And you can read this verse so quick, you almost, like I just did, almost jumped over the first two words. I am. Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is, and I was, but I'm the same in the is as I was in the was. And which is to come. The Almighty. and the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he said himself, I am the Lord, and I change not. He's the I am. We don't have to wait for God to get up a whole lot of power like he had when he opened the Red Sea. He's got the same power today. And I've got a word for somebody right now. The Lord just gave it to me. The same God that was with those Hebrew children in that furnace of fire. You will not be in a physical fiery furnace, but you will go through a fiery trial. But we don't have to wait for God to get up his stuff and say, God, could you get back to what you were when you were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace? God, would you come down in the form of the Son of Man? Let us recognize you. Let us sense you and feel you. But God is the same God of that day. He is I am. And he is about to walk through that furnace with you. When he says, I am, he's saying, I'm the same. And he also saying, I'm about to walk right through you. I've just predicted somebody's weak, but God is going to be with you, and that's the main thing that counts. Whew. Jesus, throughout his ministry, answered those I am questions. Who do men and who do you say I am? And he performed miracles that proved he was the Almighty God. I want you to think a little bit about this. I'm not going to stay on in a minute. But think about one of your favorite miracles. And I know every miracle is wonderful. But both biblical and then more recent in your lives. What is your favorite miracle? Well, he is performing miracles to prove that he is the Almighty God manifested in the flesh. And then he made various declarations that purposely, it was no accident, it purposely used that same old phrase from the Old Testament, and he brought it into his New Testament ministry, that phrase of I am. It sounds different in the Hebrew, but it comes out the same in Jesus' mouth and ministry and in meaning to us. What he was doing, he was personalizing or fleshing out his original claim to Moses. So when he goes through Galilee and when he goes through Judea and he makes those I am statements, for instance, in John, he tells his disciples, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. It's John 14, 6. Jesus was clearly and definitely making the point, I'm the only way of salvation. He knew there would be a whole lot of questions. There were then, there are today. So in that I am statement, he was letting them know very clearly, there's only one way to salvation and eternal life. And he said, you are seeing it when you see me. When you've seen me, you have seen the Father of salvation or the Father of creation. Now, we all know that in our world, some people think they have the way figured out. But unless the way is Jesus, they are deceived. And today, people are wondering, and maybe somebody observing online or somebody right here in the sanctuary is wondering, which way is right? Unsure a little bit about what is absolutely true. You are searching for the meaning of life. Jesus' answer is right there for us. You don't have to take my word or anyone else's word, but take that word from the Lord. He said, I am. He didn't say we are or there are ways and different truths and different lives. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is all in him. Now, we would be quick to say, yes, Jesus is a better way. But it's more than a better way. Jesus said, I'm the only way. I don't want people to be confused when they hear this preaching or hear our witness about, well, maybe that's not so essential. or maybe I can do it this other way that I've heard. We can't afford to have that blood on our hands to say something different than what Jesus said in that revelation. It is exclusive, admittedly. There is no other way. There is one way. Jesus is the way to find forgiveness through repentance. Jesus is the way to have your sins remitted when we're baptized in His name. Jesus is the way to receive the Holy Ghost because He gives it and the Holy Ghost comes in His name. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. That's the revelation that God, and so He's asking us, do you really see me as the way, the truth, and the life? And I'll just step on this and then I'm going to move away. Because this world that is touched by so much compromise and supposed tolerance, they would like to paint a dark shadow over people who only accept that Jesus said there's only one way and the only way. I just encourage you on the basis of Scripture, don't be moved away or made to feel guilty. We should feel guilty if we do not represent His truth as it really is given. There's a way to be saved. There's a way to be forgiven. It's Jesus. There's a way to have our sins remitted. It's baptism in Jesus' name. There's a way to receive the Holy Ghost. That is faith and trust in the one who gives the Holy Ghost, Almighty God, Jesus Christ. So He's saying, who do you say that I am? APC, I pray we always go on record. I'm spending more time on this than I intended to, but I feel it's important right now. I want us to always go on record to say there is a way of salvation. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. And He anointed Peter to capsulize it, and we are founded as APC upon this doctrine of salvation. Repentance, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the baptism or the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the way. Let us always be on record. Let us always be on record. I know individuals can believe what they want to believe, but as a church corporately and as the voice of this pulpit and leadership, every voice that comes over it, let it be that we proclaim the great I am is the way, the truth, and the life. John 8 and 12. God wants to bring, hear me everybody, God wants to bring light this morning. I am the light of the world. If a few of you follow me, if some special selected follow me, no. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. It is not the will of God for someone to walk in the darkness of deception, false concepts, depression, discouragement. It is not the will of God. I am, He says. He comes on the scene and said, this is timeless, this is changeless, and this is what is about to happen. A light's going to dawn. A light bulb's going to come on. A new day, like light comes when the dawn comes. I proclaim it in the Holy Ghost. A new day. Whew, there's something battling me saying this. It isn't any of you. There's a spirit here. But I'm going to say it anyhow. There's a new day dawning for your life and for your calling and for your dreams and for your hopes and for your promises and for your family. Now notice this. When you see that, He said, He's not going to walk in darkness. He's going to have light. But it never does say He's going to take away the darkness. But instead, He said, I'm going to come on the scene in the middle of that darkness. And that's going to cause darkness to flee. We all know we live in a dark world. And it'd be wonderful if everybody went around repenting every day, calling the name of Jesus. And when you butt ahead of them in traffic, they'd say, "Oh, bless him in Jesus' name, Lord." It'd be wonderful if everybody, those words they were saying couldn't be repeated because they were speaking in tongues and not because of what words they were saying. It'd be a wonderful life. But there's still darkness, according to that verse. But he said, you don't have to walk in darkness because I am has come. I'm about to shine a new light in your life. All of us have the personal testimony. And we walk in a darkness. And maybe some to a greater degree than others. But I'm going to tell you, dark is dark. I mean, dark's dark. And no matter what it was and how dark it was, when the I am came, there was light. Even with darkness still present, the light comes into the darkness and changes the atmosphere to light. And so when I said somebody's new day is about to dawn, I am not proclaiming that your situation is going to go totally away, but there is going to be a new dawning in the midst of that situation. And God could take it all away if he wanted to. But there is going to be a new revelation, because here's what Jesus said and what John wrote. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1:5. The light comes. The I am the light comes. But it said the darkness. Now our word comprehend is figure it out or understand it. That's not what this word is. That's a wrestling word. A word that they would use when individuals would wrestle together. And darkness tried to wrestle light down. Darkness tried to pin. Got in a tussle, if you please. Because Satan shows up in the Garden of Eden and the match starts. And he tries to work down and wear down the light. But the light comes into the world. And the Bible says it shone. I tell you, there's a message. Can you put that back up there, Brother Jason? John 1:5. There's a message in those few words. Shineth in darkness. Don't let your light go out when it gets dark. Don't let the light of your faith in Jesus, the true light, go out. Let your light be ignited by the main candle. Let the candle of your light be lighted by the one who said, I am the light. It shines in the darkness. And the darkness couldn't get it wrestled down to the mat. It couldn't get on top of it. And I will say, no matter how strong the satanic power gets, no matter how strong the earthly darkness gets, it cannot comprehend or wrestle down or overcome the light of the Word. This is another reason it's important to have the Word of God, because it's a lamp and it's a light. And when you're going through a dark time and a dark trial, you get that Word and that light is going to blast into that darkness. He's the light. Or all you have to do is just call on His name. Just call on His name. And the light of the world will come shining into your circumstance. Just call on the name. And now the New Testament name is Jesus. The Old Testament was Jehovah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Which means He is our salvation. Not only do we need, and mainly we need salvation from sin, but we need saving from darkness at times. God, help me in this situation. I'm feeling pressure. I feel some form of pressure, and it even edges toward depression because of what I'm feeling. God, I need your deliverance. And so I need your light. The Bible talks about how people stumble when they are in darkness. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when they walk in darkness, they are stumbling. It's not the will of God for you. Listen to me, sir or ma'am. It's not the will of God for you to stumble any longer. because of a lack of light. It is really just this simple. All we have to do is call on the name of the light. Jesus. Jesus. I want to ask you before we make our move to the altar here. I just want to ask you, and you can answer it, please, just personally and silently. Do you believe that God is about to shine that light into your situation, into your family, into that life? Some may have so much sin or failure in their lives. Some of those that you are thinking about and you love may seem to have so much darkness. But I'm going to tell you, the darkness cannot wrestle it down. And there are testimonies all over this room that were in the darkness of sin, and there was a dark stain on their life, but now they're white as snow. Because the blood of the light has shone in their life. And so all you have to do is have a faith in this one who is the I Am, Jehovah of the old and Jesus of the new. Just I am the light. I am the light. And so if you need salvation, the way, the truth, or the life, or if you need the light, just come on today. Stand with me if you would, please. And God is saying, I'm about to. Let's let that about to become a reality. If you want it personally, if you want whatever you need from God, and there are other I am, and maybe God's quickening some other I am statement to you, or some other need that you have to be fulfilled, he's quickening an answer, just come on. God's saying, I'm about to. And what I give, I have the power to do whatever I have done before, plus, over, and beyond, and above that. He revealed himself at a burning bush to Moses. He's going to reveal himself at an altar and a time of prayer at 901 Barracks View today. He's going to reveal himself. And the others of you, would you come and pray with these that have expressed some form of a need? Because you believe in the I Am. You believe that he is changeless. You believe and you've seen it and you've experienced. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're able, God. I pray for any forgiveness that is needed. Let it be affected right now. Let it be affected. Let repentance go into action. And let forgiveness come to meet it, Lord. You want to do that. It's your will to do that. It's your plan to do that. Hallelujah. You can wash away sin because someone is baptized in your wonderful name. You are the one, Lord. You are the one. Yes. Hallelujah. We can receive the Holy Ghost today because you're the giver. Yes. You want to give the Spirit, Lord, whether for the first time or a repeated time. God, and you are the light. You want to shine your light into some situation that has been overshadowed by darkness. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I believe you. I believe you, Jesus. I believe that you are the I Am. I believe that you are the timeless, unchanging God. I believe that you have everything that you have ever had in power and in love and in redemptive resource. You have it all, God. Yes, you do. You have anointing for lives. You have wisdom and counsel and direction for lives. Yes, you do, O Lord. Yes, you do. That's right. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead. Call out on the Lord. That's right. Don't be ashamed. Don't hold back. The same way we praise him with all of our heart, we can petition with all of our strength and heart. Yes, we believe you, Lord. Let there be a passion of faith, God. Let there be a passion of faith.